I said before you, the idea of before and after. I may be off on this, maybe not, but I'm going to throw this comment out there anyway. We are a culture that's obsessed with the before and the after. Would you agree with that? For example, if you go to the store, you pick up a magazine or even turn on the internet, you see things like this. How's your smile? A number of groups and maybe physicians promote and advertise, no matter what it was before, it can look like this. If it was broken before, we can fix it, and then it will look like this, before and after. If the color isn't what you like, if you'd like it to be bright and white and light, then come see us for the before and the after. But let's be honest, it doesn't stop there, does it? It also extends to the world of fashion, right? Any of you ever had a fashion makeover? Was there someone in your family you would like to give a fashion makeover to? Don't look at your spouse. Eyes forward, folks. Right, we've seen these shows, haven't we? Come on in. We'll dress up your hair. We'll dress up your clothing before and after. You'll walk out like a brand new person. In fact, maybe people won't even recognize you, for better or for worse. I don't know. But before and after, it doesn't stop there, does it? How many of you have seen the show The Biggest Loser, right? See, this even extends to the realm of physical activity and size and health, right? Before, I looked like this, but when I did the program, I did the diet, I ate this, I didn't eat that, I did this, and then I looked like this, right? We're obsessed with the before and after. One of the shows, and maybe one of the ideas, the before and after ideas that really stuck in my mind this week in preparation for today, was what I see every time I watch Extreme Makeover Home Edition. You ever seen that show? Yeah? So you know how this works. The folks involved with this show, they go to a family that's in need some way, shape, or form. They have a house that could use a little bit of an uplift, a facelift. And they go in and they do the remodeling, the demolition, the work, the hard work, the labor, the blood, the sweat, the tears, so that what they had before, they don't have afterwards. One of the things that I appreciate the most about this show, maybe more than others, is that they give you an inside look at the change. Do you know what I'm talking about? For example, they'll take you into the house, room by room, and they'll show you what they're going to do in the bedroom. They're going to show you what they're going to do in the kitchen. They're going to give you those cabinets. They're going to give you that countertop. Yes, the granite countertop. They're going to work on the floors, the walls, the ceilings, the paint, the lighting. And they're going to get it just right, so that what it was before isn't how it will be afterwards. This morning, we're going to take a look once again at our sermon video, and we're going to take a look at how this dynamic played out in the life of a guy by the name of Saul. This time in our service, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screen up front, and let's take a look at what God did in the life of a man by the name of Saul, and let's take a look at what the before and the after looked like for him. Let's take a look.
Saul. Saul. Why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. No. 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 Thank you.
In the New Testament book of Acts, the 9th chapter, in fact, we heard this today in our second reading, we see a pretty stark before and after contrast focused on the life of Saul, what God was seeking to do through the life of this man by the name of Saul. In the first part of chapter 9, we hear this, and we might call this our before picture. Let this picture formulate in your mind for a moment. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Is this the kind of guy that you want coming to your worship service on Sunday morning? Is this the kind of guy you want to invite to your cul-de-sac party, your neighborhood get-together, your family, your friends? Come on over, Saul. Bring the chips and Tostitos and the salsa. We'd love to have you. Is that how the church feels about Saul? Based on the picture we have here? Probably not. The before picture does not look too good. Worse than a crooked smile, worse than a wardrobe that is falling apart, Saul is a picture of the before that we just don't want. But at the end of chapter 9, we see a much, much different picture. Let this picture come to mind for you this morning. Verses 19 through 22. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, how's that for an after picture? Before, murderous threats, you like Jesus, I don't like you. Afterwards, let's talk about Jesus together. Let's spread the word. Before and after. If these were the two pictures that were set before me, I'd have to ask the question, and maybe you're asking it yourselves this morning, how? How do you go from having a picture like this to having an end result like that? Or to use some of the imagery from the last couple weeks' sermons, Saul goes from being this tool, this weapon that's being used to rip up and root out every trace of the gospel movement, the way, the Christian church that he can put his hands on. Going from house to house, city to city, place to place, he is ripping out and tearing up every shred of Jesus he can find. But something happens to Saul that it transforms him. It gets him at his very core. It infiltrates his heart and his mind, and he is never the same, to the point that he is no longer ripping out the church, but he is planting every place he goes, every conversation, every relationship, every situation, whether tough or easy. He's now planting the gospel he once tried to rip apart. So my question is this: how did we go from such a negative before picture to a more healthy after picture? This shouldn't surprise us. The answer is Jesus. St. Luke records this for us in Acts chapter 9 when he shares this. Verse 3, as Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what to do." Later on in Acts chapter 22, Saul fills in some more of the details about what was happening for him at this time, and right on the heels of this interaction and this encounter by Jesus, he shares this. "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Jesus intervened. Jesus changed Saul's life, and as a result, Saul had a story to tell. My life before Jesus, it looked like this. It was messy. It was ugly. It was full of animosity and hate and just some ugly stuff. But when Jesus stepped into my life, the after picture, boy, it is the most beautiful picture you've ever seen. Our Lord Jesus has done the same for you and for me. With his death on the cross and with his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has intervened for you and for me. Jesus has changed the course of your life and my life, and he has given us a story to tell. In Romans 5, the same Paul who had this encounter shares this with us. He says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" Jesus intervenes for us before and after. And he shares this with us. "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." If that wasn't enough, Paul picks it up in his letter to a group of Christians in this city of Colossae when he says this in chapter 1. "Once you were an alienated from God, and you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." St. Paul, who is the picture, the poster child of enemy number one, tearing apart the church any chance he could, this is now the same Paul who is challenging you and me to live out the faith. This morning, let me ask you this. Where is God currently seeking to do a before and after change in your life? As we think about that for our lives this morning, I can't help but wonder what issues, what relationships, what situations, what conversations come to mind for you. In our adult Bible class this morning, and I encourage you to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock to be further fed and informed by God's word so we can do the work God's calling us to do. In our adult Bible class this morning, we talked about how there are certain areas of our life that maybe, just maybe, God is wanting to do a before and after change in your life and in my life today. Maybe for some of us here today, it's in the area of forgiveness, where the before picture looks like a very hard heart and a hard mind and a desire to do anything but forgive. But God's desire is to see a heart changed and for forgiveness to come freely, just as it came to us. Maybe it's a picture of fear. Fear of what's coming tomorrow or next week or next month because of something you heard, something you said, something you were involved with. And the before picture, it does not look good. Hallmark is not calling you to put it on their next card. But God is desiring to transform your life in some way, shape, or form where his love does as he says in his word, and it casts out all fear. Where is God seeking to bring about a before and after change in your life today? There's a couple places in my life. Where is it for you? This week, as I was spending time preparing for God's word, came across Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And we'll close in this thought. The same author who penned the book of Acts is the same author who pens this for us today. Let me share this with you. Jesus says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" See, here's the thing, friends. So oftentimes we're in this place, and maybe let's call it the before picture. And in this place, Jesus comes to us and he seeks to bring about healthy change. And maybe in this place, we do as we're doing right now in worship because it's comfortable, it's easy, it seems like the lingo, the word on the street for this one time, this one place, this one hour. And right here, it's easy to say, "Lord, Lord, I love Jesus. I love me some Jesus." But when Jesus comes into my life and asks me to do something uncomfortable, I'm not so quick to say, "Lord, Lord." When I'm driving in my car and I'm going wherever it is I'm going and I got that song on, you know that song, and it sounds good and the lyrics are they're catchy and the beats, well, you know the beat. And it's really easy to say, "Lord, Lord, I love Jesus." But then there's that lyric that comes through in the song and it grips you in your heart and your mind and it causes you to reflect upon something going on in your life that God wants to change from the before to the after. And we're quick to turn down the radio, aren't we? This morning, I ask you once again, where is God seeking to bring about a before and an after change in your life? As we think about that this week, we remember this. The same God who can change the life of a persecutor by the name of Saul to an evangelist of top notch who penned most of our gospel by the name of Paul, he can do it for you, and he can do it for anyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that comes to us in personal ways each and every day. We thank you for the ways in which you step into our path, and you offer a corrective word. You offer a brother or sister in Christ to help us, to guide us, to lead us. You send us your word. Father, if we're honest today, then we have to confess that the times that you come to us, we don't always say, "Lord, Lord." Sometimes we try to sidestep you and we go a different way. Through our own struggles, our own conflict, our own anxieties, tensions, worries, doubts, fears, and the list goes on. Father, we pray that you would continue to stay close to us. We pray that you would surround us with other brothers and sisters in Christ who will help us to walk the path you're calling us to walk. And Father, we recognize too that as you've transformed Saul's life, you can transform any life. And maybe there's a relationship or a place in our lives where we need to see the situation, the conversation, or the person through fresh eyes. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.